be on live with all of you here, our Lighthouse Church family. There is no limits to the power and the hand of God. The hand of God is stronger than any virus. The touch of God can move in the middle of any disease or darkness. And He is going to pierce through some darkness today. And He is going to speak something into your spirit that I believe it will allow you never to be the same again. I'm going to read again from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, and this is where I want to take my title and text. The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day risen again, or rise again. And they remembered his words. And then quickly just turn over to Mark chapter 16. We're going to read just verse number 1 so we can identify who was there in this setting of scripture. Mark 16 verse 1 says, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Praise God. If you were standing for the reading word, you may be seated in the presence of Almighty God. Thank you for the hat on. Throughout the Bible, the announcement of God's great programs have been delivered and announced by angels. The angel preached the first post-resurrection gospel message he received in and at the tomb. He received those that showed up at the tomb. And Jesus showed up initially at the tomb. He was dead. But Jesus did not stay dead in the tomb. He came out alive, and that is exactly what is going to happen inside of your lives today. I want to open up by setting an expectation to you that today you might have came on this live feed feeling lost and dead. But before the service is over, you are going to leave out alive. You are going to leave knowing that the Word of God got a hold of you. You might have came in here dead in sin and in your trespasses of sin, dead in your emotions, dead, praise God, for your love for life and your love for living, dead because of all the bumps and the bruises that you had to have endured in your life, dead because of the numbness that you have felt because of all the pressure that you've been facing even now. Dead because of all the regrets that you have in your life. Bad decisions that you've made. You feel so unalive. Dead because you have not felt that you reached your highest potential or your highest place in your life. And dead because you know that you are not even giving your very best. And when you are not giving your very best, you are internally frustrated and you feel dead. But I've come to tell you here this morning that the power of the Holy Ghost, and when you are touched by the hand of God, that you can come in dead but leave out alive, just like Jesus Christ did praise God, in our setting. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, and he hath quickened you who were dead in trespasses and in sins, where in time past ye walked according to the lust or the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul was identifying every single one of us, our condition before the blood got a hold of us. Paul is giving clear definition of where we are before we put our faith in Jesus Christ and allow his spirit to come in and change us. We walked according to the course of this world. That is only one way, and that is downward. The entire world and the course and the trajectory that it is on is only downhill. There is nothing in this world that is going to ever be satisfactory to your soul. There is nothing in this world that will ever satisfy you. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the one thing and the one person that will never leave you unsatisfied. He is always going to satisfy you. And the Bible says that they walk according to the prince of the power of the air. Yes, there are absolute satanic influences that are trying to move, that allow evil to be a normal thing in our world, in our society. Murders are taking place every single day. Babies are being murdered through legalized abortion. State after state are legalizing marijuana. Praise God, street after street with the sale of liquor leading towards violence, depression, sickness, addiction, murder and perversion. Hollywood and all the entertainment that comes along with it, praise God, are numbing our senses against immorality. People in the church don't even mind seeing sex and perversion and seduction on their screens. Let me tell you, the prince of the power of the air is absolutely working. That spirit is working in the children of disobedience. When someone is walking in sin, it is simply them walking in what Satan has aligned them to walk in their disobedience and in their rebellion. But the gospel message that I want to preach to everyone here under the sound of my voice is that that can be an absolute past thing in your life, and that the blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrecting power can set you free from all of those satanic influences. You can be saved today. You can be saved today because the gospel message is simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross to purchase your salvation, and you no longer have to live in guilt anymore. He has redeemed you. There is a story that I love to tell. It was about a father and his son that spent so much time building this nice, praise God, toy boat, and it was very expensive, and it took hours and hours and lots of delicate details in order for this ship to be in the pristine condition that it was in. And then one day they said, once it was done, let's take it out on the lake and see how well it sails there on the lake. But as it got on the lake, they began to lose track of it, and it began to drift away. And both father and son began to cry over that thing that they had made, the thing that they had created and spent so much time, energy, and love in. And that, not to tell you a bad news, but the ship was lost. The ship was gone. And it broke their heart. And many months later, while the child was going through his normal routine, he went into the shock of his eyes. He saw a window in the toy store, and there was his boat was there. And so he went into the toy department store. He said, Mister, that's my boat. Give me my boat back. My father and I, we made that boat together. We spent time on that thing, and we lost it, and now we have found it. But the man said, well, praise God, legally it belongs to me because I am the one that has found it. And so if you want it, you are going to have to buy it. And so that son, he went out and he earned that money, and he went back and he purchased that boat. And he says, boat, now I have you. I lost you, but now you are found. I paid the price for you. Let me tell you, that's what our Heavenly Father
Father did. He left glory and came down in the man form of Christ Jesus. And he said, you were my ownership before. You were my creation before. But I lost you through circumstances. But now because of the blood of Jesus, he has purchased you back. And he has done it gladly. And now he says, I have twice redeemed you. I have bought you with my precious blood. Let me tell you, wherever you are today, no matter how far lost you have become, the Lord does three things. He is looking for the lost sheep. He is looking for the lost son. He is looking for you as a lost coin. Jesus Christ has not rejected you. Today is a day for you to celebrate. Resurrection service is a day for you in a personal manner can say, he died for me. And looking at our text concerning these women who were on their way to the grave. We hear it preached that they were on their way to give him spices to embalm him. But that is not a Jewish practice whatsoever. That is an Egyptian practice. When the Jews go to anoint, praise God, a body, they go to anoint that body. When God is in something, he comes to anoint it. Now, why? Why did they go to anoint Jesus when he was already dead? The answer is simple. Because when Jesus died, it was near the Sabbath day, and according to their law, they could not do any work whatsoever on that day, and so they had to bury him quickly. They had to bury him hastily. And we know that Joseph of Arimathea, he asked the body from Pilate, and he did not have time to anoint the body of Jesus because the Sabbath was right on the scene. But what we do find out is that Jesus Christ was already anointed. We find in Mark chapter 14, there was a woman in Bethany that interrupted a meeting and anointed him, praise God, oil from her alabaster box, and the Bible says that she anointed him with spikenard, very precious, praise God, ointment. She broke the box and poured it out on his head. And there was some that thought and had indignation on the inside of themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? Some people think your worship is a waste. Some people think we are wasting our time magnifying God in this season. But let me tell you, anytime we begin to call on the name of the Lord, and anytime we begin to humble ourselves and begin to worship him, we are literally anointing the body of Jesus for what he is going to do in return in our lives. I want to tell you right now, your worship is not a waste. Your hallelujah is not a waste. Your thank you, Jesus, is not a waste. The Bible says, leave her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work in me. She hath done what she could. Let me tell you right now, we're not in the best environment that we want to be, but we will do what we can. We won't sit back and allow a virus to stop us from magnifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know we don't have the best technology, but we will do what we can, and we will still bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will still be in our mouth, because he is so worthy of the worship, worthy of the honor, and worthy of the glory. And the Bible says, she is come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Before God does his miraculous power in your life, make sure you know how to worship him. Make sure you know how to give God all the glory and all the praise, because he's about to do something impossible for your life. He saw in advance the hearts of this woman that knew how to worship him, and he performed a great miracle in her life. If you want a miracle, you got to be a worshiper. You got to be a worshiper. And now I want to take you now to the intentions of these women. Their intention was to try to make something dead better. They said, let's go to the body of Jesus. And our minds have not yet been anointed. And we're going to try to make death smell sweet. But hello, I'm here to tell you right now, You cannot make death smell sweet. You cannot make decay smell sweet. Some of you right now, you're going through death, hell, and decay in your life. And you don't want to be flattered in any way. You know that your situation stinks real bad. Come on, I want somebody to be honest right now. You are frustrated. You are living a chaotic life. There's all kind of turmoil around you. And people are trying to do certain things to make the bad things smell good. But you can't make death smell good. You can't make decay smell good. And there are many people that are trying to put spices and anoint dead things. You're trying to cover up the stink that you are dealing with in your life. You are trying to pretend that you're not sinful. You're trying to pretend that you don't need God. You're trying to pretend you're not decaying. And you're putting all these spices and you're doing all these things to try to cover up the mess that you put yourself in. You're trying to cover up all the problems you're dealing with. But let me tell somebody that you cannot allow your own instruments to cover up the sting and the stink of death. Even though your life might be feeling like it's upside down, there's only one that can do it. And here are these women. They're here. They can relate like we can relate to them. Their culture said when something is dead, this is how you spice things up. When your life feels like it's been turned upside down, there are some culturally acceptable things that you should do in the norm to cope with the pain and disappointment that you are facing. You've been brought to a harsh reality that your hopes feel like they've been decaying and your hopes feel like they've been destroyed. Am I talking to anybody on Facebook Live this morning? You've been brought to a harsh reality that there is evil in this world and there are people in this world that could care less about you, about what you love, about what matters to you, and about what preparations you have made. I mean, just 1 week earlier, these same women were crying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And just a short time ago, the whole world felt like it was in front of them, and they were going to conquer the world, and they had no care in the world, and things were progressing wonderfully in their life, because what they had anticipated for their whole life had come. The Messiah had come. The Son of David had come. But things can turn around real quick. The same way we see it right now all over the world. One moment we're shouting, praising, dancing, going to work and doing our thing. And then the next moment we're stuck in the house 24 hours a day. And we feel like that things can go from light to dark real quick. And in secret, the religion leaders had just arrested Jesus. In the night, they came with weapons and guards and led him away. And in that moment, so much changed so quickly. And at that same time, his disciples left him while he was being lied on in a fake trial against him. One of his closest disciples, Peter, denied him 3 times. They bared false witness against him. When they concluded that he was guilty of blasphemy, they sent him to Governor Pilate to be sentenced to death by crucifixion. And he was beat. He was spat upon. He was cursed. Everything was happening too fast. What is in the world going on? And then there's a little glimmer of hope. Pilate knows our tradition, and Pilate knows that one prisoner should be released at the Passover. Well, then perfect. Barabbas is here. Barabbas is a murderer. There's no way that they won't release Jesus and allow Barabbas to suffer death, because Barabbas is worthy of death. And so there's a little bit of hope, and then they begin to hear something that was so eerie in their ear, so fearful in their ear. They begin to hear the crowd say, "No, release to us Barabbas. Come on, he's a sinner, he's a murderer. Why are you releasing him and not Jesus?" But to their disregard, Jesus was still the one that had to go and die on that cross. Jesus is the one who's stripped. Jesus is the one who's beaten. Jesus is the one at the the crown of thorns were in his head, piercing his skull. Jesus is the one that had to carry up that heavy cross up to Golgotha, to a point he had no more strength, and they had to grab Simon from Cyrene to carry that cross for him, because he collapsed under the pressure. He collapsed under the pain. He collapsed under the suffering. And we understand that in the matter of literally hours, he is gone. We heard him cry, "It is finished." Now, yes, years later, we understand how awesome that phrase was. But that phrase was not awesome for the women who were standing by. That phrase was a phrase of the chapter ending on this particular story. Those words were the three worst words they could ever hear. Because here is the one that opened the eyes of the blind. Here is the one that touched those that are sick and lonely. Here's the one that showed all kind of compassion and comfort to every human soul. And out of his own mouth, with his last breath, he cries, "It is finished. It's over." It was a good ride. It was a good thing. It was fun while it lasted. And what moves in, like we feel today, hopelessness. A sense of what we thought made our life better is now gone. People that have been stripped from them. People that feel like your life has become so in vain and empty. So here they are going to a tomb, going to the place of dead things. It is interesting to note that they weren't seeking in their mind someone or something that was alive. They weren't going there because they were excited to see him resurrected the way we are today. When they got there, they had questions. Who is going to roll the stone away? They had questions when they realized that they had their own limits. They were realizing that they were just headed towards dead things. What we're headed towards, we're not excited about. We're headed towards more dead things in our lives. Again, that's where so many people are today. The direction you are headed towards are towards things you feel that is so limited. There's questions you are asking. They're headed towards things that you already know is only going to bring more pain and more sorrow. Some of you can't let go of that bottle. And every time you grab a hold of that bottle, you understand more pain and more sorrow is still coming your way. People are afraid of the end times right now. People are questioning how things are even possibly going to work out after all the current things we're dealing with this virus. They found themselves questioning and wondering and hoping, can things even get better? How can things get better when there are so many barriers that we know are still yet ahead of us? Questioning how their marriage is going to work out, how their family is going to deal with these things, questioning how they're going to make their next mortgage payment or rent payment. How am I going to deal with so many things in my life? But let me tell everybody right now, it is time for a perspective change. When they got there, the angel was there to give them a new perspective. The angel comes and he tells them, he says, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" The angel was actually correcting them. Again, it is interesting to note the parts of his question. They weren't looking for something that was alive. They were looking for something, praise God, from their perspective was dead. And what am I trying to communicate to all of you listening right now? There are so many of you that need that same question posed to you. Why are you seeking dead things? Why do you continue to go in circles with things you know that don't work for your life? You're going through the same old dead, empty cycles, same old dead relationships, same old dead drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality. And none of those things has ever given you life. None of those things have ever given you peace. If you're seeking after monetary things, you know and I know it would never give you hope. And so the question is, why are you searching in dead things and in dead places? Why are you searching for love that cannot be found? Why do you continue to go with some expectation that you know is not there? And so the angel, praise God, was sent by the Lord to change their perspective. And I pray that you also have a perspective change as the word of God goes forward. He says, I need you to look at this thing differently. Stop looking for life among dead things. Stop looking for satisfaction in things you know that are not going to give you satisfaction. Your mind has been stuck and defaulted to look for satisfaction among dead things and dead places. Your mindset has been stuck questioning how you are going to fix something and solve things that were never yours to fix or solve in the first place. You need to release it and say, I'm doing it all wrong. I must change my mindset and understand I must stop caring weights and problems that God never intended me to carry. I want to give you an understanding that what you're looking for is not in those dead things, nor in those dead places. It's not at the tomb anymore. I want to give you an understanding that what you're looking for is not in worldly lust nor worldly pleasures. I want to give you an understanding that what you're looking for is not in money nor financial security. What you're looking for is not among those dead things. What you're looking for is Jesus. And he said to them, he's not here. He's not in dead places. He's not in a dead, empty grave somewhere. He is alive. He does not live among dead places. God does not live among dead things. He is a God of the living. He is alive of things that are growing and things that are prospering and things that are moving forward. I saw some graffiti last month and it blew my mind. It said in these captions, it said R.I.P. Jesus or rest in peace Jesus. I said, nah, nah, nah. It ain't the right description. My God is not dead. He is alive and he risen again with all power in his hand. Let me preach to somebody here today. Everything you need is found in Jesus. Everything you want is found in Jesus. And he's not dead. He's alive to give you everything you need that brings satisfaction in your life. So we see here the Lord wanted to get them to a shift, to a change of mindset. Again, they came with false expectations to make dead things sweeter. But Jesus didn't need death to be sweetened. Jesus understood, I don't need death to be sweetened. I need death to be conquered. I'm going to say it again. God says, I don't need you to sweeten up death because you can't sweeten up death. The only thing you can do with death is to conquer it. But can I tell you what the praise God writer said? He said, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? You know what he said? I have conquered death, hell, and the grave. I have all power. I'm alive. And if I have power to get up out of a grave, I have power to change your life as well. And so, the proof of the resurrection. The reason why we are celebrating today is not just that the tomb was empty. The religious leaders had a plan if there was an empty tomb. The religious leaders had a solution if it was just an empty tomb. They could blame the empty tomb on thieves. So we're not celebrating just because there was an empty tomb. We celebrate the resurrection because there is proof of the resurrection. The Bible said that he showed himself with many infallible proofs over to 500 people during 40 days. We're not coming here with some fairy tale. We're not coming to you with some kind of fantasy about some fake God somewhere. We're coming to you with infallible proofs, undeniable facts that he is absolutely alive and he ascended with all power in his hands. When they got to the tomb, they were searching for dead things. But Mary Magdalene, when she got her account that we find in the book of John, he said, why are you weeping? What are are you looking for? Meaning you are crying yourself to sleep. Meaning you are taking all kind of pills just to get through your day. You are so oppressed and depressed and you're weeping. And Jesus shows up and says, why are you crying? Stop looking for dead things. I'm right here. I'm alive. I have access to you. I love you. And I want to change your life forever. There's hope today. He does something personal. He calls her by her name. He says, Mary, look, it's me. I know you're in your home and we're all isolated, but I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is calling your name. Jesus is trying to get your attention. Jesus is wanting to pull at your hearts. Jesus wants to tug at your heartstrings and say, why are you weeping? Why are you going through your old, same old, messed up cycles? Why do you feel stuck? Why do you feel hopeless? I'm right here. I'm alive. What are you searching for? Stop looking. Stop searching. Stop trying to figure it out. I've already made a way for you. And here I am. Look at the scars in my hands. Look at my side. I did it all for you. And I need you to wake up and see who I am and what I've done for you and how much I love you. There's some Marys listening right now. Stop weeping. Stop feeling hopeless. You're not without hope. The proof of the resurrection is that you don't have to cry anymore. You don't have to think, oh, it's lost anymore. He showed up and he directly proved himself alive. Jesus wants to make this more than just some religious ceremony for you over Facebook Live. Jesus wants to come to your home right now. Jesus wants to move in your living room right now. And Jesus wants to present himself alive and well and say, this is going to be a new day for you. Your tomorrow is going to be better. And I'm calling you out by name and I'm going to change you and give you all the hope and the expectation you once lost. I am buying it back for you. There's a great future for somebody. I want to tell you right now in the Holy Ghost, there is a great future for somebody. Jesus is calling your name. He's drawing you near. And he tells you, if I have power to get out of a grave, I have power to help you out. Last thing. This is the last word I have for you. It's not too late with God. It's not too late with God. I know right now you think your marriage is dead. Your relationship is buried. It's too far gone. I know you think your mental state is gone. You lost your mind. You lost your drive. You lost your passion. You lost your energy. All you feel is like going to bed. All you feel like is going through the motions of the day and finding a place of isolation. You don't think there's a better tomorrow for you. You think your best days are behind you. You think that things cannot get better, that they're dry and they're dead and they are buried. And that's why you haven't opened your Bible. That's why you haven't prayed a prayer. That's why you just tried to put your head down and just stay in a selfish state of mind, because you think, and you're wrong, but you think it's too late. Way back in the Old Testament, God was already showing his resurrecting power. Way back in the Old Testament, God brought an old prophet named Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones, a place where people had been probably defeated in battle, a place where they did not win the battles they thought they should win. Anybody who would go to that grave said, see, they've already lost. They've already been defeated. There's no tomorrow for them. But you know what God began to do? He began to speak a word of faith inside of Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Let me tell you right now, I don't care how dead your valley is. I don't care how dead your situation is. God is a God that can resurrect dead things. And so you might be listening right now and you may say, well, I can tune you out because my situation is too far gone. It's too bad. It's too hard. Let me tell you, in the name of Jesus, there's nothing too hard for God. God can resurrect dead things. God can resurrect dead places. God can resurrect anything. Whatever you're going through, however hopeless you are, Jesus Christ can raise you up. Jesus Christ can deliver you and set you free. Dead places need to be looked at differently. Dead places need to be looked at as territory for resurrection and life. Right now, many of you that are hurting and tired, I give you a word of hope today. He wants to resurrect some dead things. He wants to allow some joints to be connected to one another. He wants you to prophesy to the spirit, to the wind. And his spirit is what is going to activate the resurrection. It was the spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead. It was the spirit of God that allowed those dry bones to be made alive again. Let me tell you the same message. That the Holy Ghost wants to revive you. The Holy Ghost wants to renew you. The Holy Ghost wants to restore you. And so right now, I don't care, I'm on a screen, because I prayed in the Holy Ghost today, and I've been praying in the Holy Ghost all week. I want you, wherever you are, to close your eyes, to open your heart, maybe raise your hand and say, Lord, I believe that you went to a cross. I believe that you died and you shed your blood. And I believe that you were buried, but that you rose again with all power in order for me to call you my God. To trust in you, oh God, to resurrect dead places. Somebody right now, wherever you are, the Holy Ghost wants to pour out. I speak it right now in the name of Jesus. I prophesy to wherever you are. I prophesy to your dead home, your dead marriage, your dead health, and your dead finances, or whatever dead place you're in right now, over your dead pain, your dead sorrow. I speak a word of life to you right now, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I tell somebody right now, you will live and not die. There's some backsliders that are watching, and I'm glad you're watching. I thank God that you're watching. But God wants to do more in you than you just watch. God wants to impart something inside your heart and tell you, I'm right here to buy you back. I'm right here asking you, why are you searching for what you know can only be found in me? Why are you searching for what you know I can give to you? Hope and care and love. And I'm calling you back home. I'm not putting shame upon you. I'm not putting condemnation upon you. I'm letting you know that this blood was for you. I'm letting you know that I got up from that grave to ensure I can impart my power upon you. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, with authority in the spiritual realm, with authority, with apostolic power in my veins, I speak a word right now. We'll go over the airwaves and go over the signals and move through somebody's phone, somebody's computer, somebody's technology, and allow your spirit that has no limits to touch somebody right now. If you would raise your hand right now, I'm speaking a resurrecting powerful word over you right now. As a man of God, I speak authority right now that chains are falling off in the name of Jesus. As a man of God, with authority of the word of God, in the power of the name of Jesus, I speak to your dead marriage, and I say it will live again, and that you will allow your stinking pride to get out of the way, and you will humble yourself to what God can do to heal your marriage. Let me tell you right now, it's not too far gone. Backslider, you're not too far gone. I'm a repentant sinner. You're not too far gone. Today is your best day. Today is your opportunity. Today is a moment when Jesus Christ is calling your name, and he's going to change everything. Impartation, release. Impartation, take place. And for all of you out there, you've been hurting in your body. You've been sick in your spirit. You've been sick physically, and you don't know how to break it, and you are searching any formula, any solution. I tell you, Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed right now, by his stripes you were healed. It's already done. It's already been loosed. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him and his shoulders. And by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed physically. We are healed emotionally. We are healed every area of our life. The power of God, the resurrecting power of God, is here right now. Maybe also some of you right now, you never repented of your sins. You never told the Lord, in all honesty and truth, that you understand that you are a sinner in need of salvation. And you've been searching. If we're honest, you've been searching. Everything you've done has been motivated by a search for love, a search for strength, a search for hope and acceptance. I want to tell you right now, Jesus saves, and he's the last stop, and he's everything that you need. And if you would take a moment right now and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I understand that I'm a sinner in need of salvation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And right now, Lord Jesus, I believe that you went to a cross for me and you shed your blood for me. And right now, God, I am a believer. And I say yes to the blood that you shed for me. And I believe that as I ask for forgiveness, you will forgive me of all of my sin and cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. I believe it's only your blood and by your grace that I can be saved. And so I say thank you right now for washing me. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 that the first step was important that we did. We had to repent of our sins. But then he also said that you must be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, in order to be a part of the family of God and take full advantage of his resurrecting power. You must also be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, that all your sins not only can be forgiven, but he also wants to remove them, and he wants you to stand clean and holy before a perfect God. But let me tell you, his love is here, his grace is here, and he'll wash you. He will wash you. And so if you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we don't need 500 people here. I can baptize you in Jesus' name. My wife at the head, I can baptize you in the name of Jesus. Put a message post out there and say, I'm surrendering to God. Put a message post out there that says, I'm going to go down to the watery grave of Jesus. Put a message post out there that says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and you can be born again. And what you said, that you repented and you're baptized in his name, then that same spirit that raised him from the grave, he says, I'll fill you with that same spirit. I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and I will empower you, and I will change your life forever, and I will make you a new creature in Christ, and all things will pass away, and all things will become new, and you will forever, ever be discipled and walk with him, and then spend eternity with him and not in a devil's hell. Today is your day. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.